This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Since its premiere in November 1969, Sesame Street has been a beloved favorite among children and adults alike. Our guest on today's This Week in America is Dr. Lucille Burbank, an educational media consultant. She worked behind the scenes at Sesame Street and is the author of the bestseller, The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street. The story of a talented team of writers, producers, researchers, and consultants, together for over five decades, creating programming that is not only entertaining, but educational as well. The Inside Story of Sesame Street with Dr. Lucille Burbank. She's next on today's This Week in America.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. That's 800-425-8166.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us on the program, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Our guest on the program is Dr. Lucille Burbank. She's the author of the book, The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street. Since its premiere in November 1969, Sesame Street has been a beloved favorite among children and adults alike. The book contains fascinating background information on one of the most successful children's shows in broadcasting history. Dr. Lucille Burbank, the author, has worked in educational media and technology for over 35 years. During that time, she was also a consultant for Sesame Workshop, NASA, and the New Jersey Department of Civil Service. She taught media design and production courses at various community colleges, was a media and technology coordinator for the Eastern Pennsylvania Regional Resource Center for Special Education. Innovative right from the start, Dr. Burbank was one of the first individuals to use holography in the classroom and has written a range of articles on integrating media and technology in education. Conducting numerous workshops, she's presented state, national conventions, conferences, recently named VIP Woman of the Year by the National Association of Professional Women. Now residing in sunny San Diego, working on current media projects, the author of The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street, Dr. Lucille Burbank, with us on This Week in America. Dr. Burbank, welcome to the program. I love reading the book and so looking forward to having you on the program today. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It was an exciting book to write, so I'm just so glad to share it with the audience and with you. I'm so glad you liked the book as much as I liked writing it.
Loved it, and we've got about 5 hours worth of questions here today. We'll compress it into, condense it into one program for now, but the book is a fascinating behind-the-scenes look And before I talk about your role on Sesame Street, because you saw firsthand what was happening as the show was developing, this actually came about, as I understand, at a cocktail party back in the 1960s. That was sort of the genesis of Sesame Street.
Yes, you know, amazing things can happen at dinner parties.
Yes.
It was really a dinner party, and Joan Cooney had given it and invited Dr. Lloyd Morissette, who was the head of the Carnegie Foundation, and they got to talking. They've always been very good friends, and they just, you know, communicate very well together. So Joan Cooney was complaining about poor children's programming at that time. That was about 65, I'm thinking, 64, 65.
Right.
And Lloyd, something clicked in Lloyd's mind, and he said, oh my gosh, are you interested in television and preschoolers, this idea? And of course, Cooney said, yes, amazingly so. And she was a documentary producer, filmer at that time. And so this was just her bag. She was looking for something to contribute to society, and wow.
Yeah, out of that came Sesame Street, and before the actual, and we'll talk about the pilot here in a second, because they had to go back and do some tinkering with the pilot. It wasn't going exactly where they wanted to, but three words that really come out a lot in your book, The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street: planning, trust, and research. Let's talk about the research aspect of that, because that's what you did. Research was something that was taken very seriously. In fact, it was what at the forefront of putting this whole series together.
Yes, it was very much. In fact, Dr. Palmer, who was the vice president of Sesame Street Research in the early days and got it up and running, said that Joan Cooney said to him, Sesame Street is the most researched television program in the history of broadcasting, either for children or any other program, any other adult program. And it is. With research, you know, even though the producers are good and they know what they're doing and the writers are good and they know what they're doing, from based on their work with children and these curricular items, still, there wasn't one person that wasn't humbled by the research. Something they felt, and they'd been doing this for years, something they felt was right on was off. Something they felt was over the heads of the preschoolers was right on the nose. So research is pivotal. My role in doing research was to find out. We had about, let me see, when I started in 1983, we had about one, two, three, maybe four or five researchers, although in the beginning they had seven researchers doing formative evaluation, which is meaning ongoing evaluation to see what's working, and then we can change things as time permits,
right,
if it's not working for the preschoolers. It was quite interesting. When I first went there, one highlight, and of course the content, the message wasn't a highlight. Dr. Hooper, who had, who was played by Will Lee, not Dr. Hooper, Mr. Hooper, excuse me, who was played by Will Lee. He was the storekeeper for 10 years on Sesame Street when it began on November 10th, 1969. And he loved acting. Everybody loved him. He was such a lovely grandfather figure. And he was glad to be back into his acting career because he was blacklisted during the McCarthy era and so was prevented from acting. And then, of course, as everything lifted, he went there and got the part. At any rate, he unfortunately, about 12 years into the show, he died. And it was a sad sad thing is, as he was trying to keep on, but the workshop decided, due to their research, that they were not going to say, like other children's shows would say, Mr. Hooper retired or he went on vacation. They were going to deal directly with the affective concept of death. And I thought that was very honest, and I was delighted with their honesty when I first started working there, because I had already interviewed Fred Rogers from creator of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yes.
And he had said, you know, what we need are more honest adults, Lucille. So when the workshop decided to do that, it was a great introduction to me and to me working there and feeling the enthusiasm and inspiration that everybody else felt. So we did a beautiful, beautiful research, did a bibliography on books about death for children and how to explain it. And then Norman Stiles, who was the head writer, did a fabulous script on an episode about Mr. Hooper dying.
And that's so typical of how you approach dealing with the audience and with parents who watched it. We'll talk about that. Part of the success everybody feels is here's a show that parents can watch with their children. The book is called The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street. Dr. Lucille Burbank is the author. A behind-the-scenes look at what went on at certainly one of the longest-running and most successful television programs of all time. Great information at her website, drlucilleburbank.com. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And this was, as I keep so impressed from the very beginning, this was different. I understand the first time in the history of television, the researchers and the producers really worked side by side. In fact, Joan Cooney had this thing called Take a Producer to Lunch. You actually work side by side. And part of what I understand you did was if there was a problem in the script, you went in and you made the change based on the research that you had done.
Yeah, that was a big change. Producers and academians or researchers would never work together. But because of research being such an integral part of Sesame Street and our belief in our findings and our discipline to do excellent research, Joan Cooney did indeed say, as Dr. Palmer would tell me, take a producer to lunch so that you develop trust in each other. Because what the researchers were saying to the producers, look, we can find out, we can answer these questions. And then the producers are saying, okay, we want these questions. Like, we want more attention data because they thrive on that. But they were exchanging what they could and couldn't do, each of the groups. The researchers could answer certain questions. The producers wanted other questions. But there was a dialogue occurring and a discussion occurring. So, yes, they went out to lunch, and then they were developing trust. And lo and behold, this came in handy in about December, I believe it was, 1968, when Dr. Palmer had some pilots shot. Again, he was vice president of Sesame Street Research. And so he looked at the pilot that the producers had made up on teaching maybe the letter W, let's say, or the letter J. And he said, oh my gosh, according to our results, the children are not learning the letter. Somehow, you have the entertainment, the action on one corner on the bottom of the screen, and then you've got the letter on maybe the opposite of the screen, and they're not coming together. So what we get is the children learning all about the song and the jingle and everything else, but no concept that this is a real, in fact, letter. and that it stands for words. The producers heard Dr. Palmer, and they went back, and he said, but Dr. Palmer didn't leave it at that. He said, this is what you have to do, according to what I'm seeing here, is you have to get the letter, let's say you're teaching the letter W, into the action. You have to get it there so that it's integral and that the Muppet character is acting along with the letter. So they went there and they did some new segments, and we have Kermit the Frog giving a lecture, and, you know, the letter W is slowly creeping up to Kermit the Frog, and he's looking here and there about W, and he's lecturing about W, and the letter's coming over towards him, and then all of a sudden the letter starts attacking him, and he goes, oh, woe with me, oh, and then he does all these other words with the letter W, and they're on the screen, and it worked.
Well, and research was so important, as you point out, in that time, as the program was going through the pilot and made it on the air in November of 1969. You also talk in the book, The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street, how the program hit a little lull. It lost a little steam in the early 1990s, and through research came up with tweaks in the format where it regained its popularity, and it's still as popular today. The book, The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street, by Dr. Lucille Burbank, our guest on the program. Her website is drlucilleburbank.com. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It's fascinating, too, in the beginning that Joan Cooney sort of saw the puppets as being a very important part, obviously, of the program, but not everybody was on board. What some people didn't like the puppet, the idea of the puppets.
Yeah, I found that fascinating.
Yes, yes.
I did, but anyway, they had, they were trying to do something completely different, and of course the puppets they were seeing out there, you know, wasn't something that was making them jump up and down, in all due respect. But when they invited Jim Henson to show his Muppets, and by the way, Muppets is Jim Henson's term for his type of puppets, he coined that term. Then things started to change because they needed something, I think, other than what they were seeing that was typical. And so Jim Henson had been doing his Muppets on Sam and Friends and on night shows and adult shows, and he wasn't really interested in doing a children's show, which is an interesting thing. He wanted his Muppets to be more for adult shows. But of course, having children himself and going there, you know, he was open to anything. And so he displayed, you know, Oscar the Grouch was one of them, and Big Bird, as you know it today. He displayed those. And all of a sudden, the producers, Dave Connell, who was the executive producer of Sesame Street there then, and John Stone, who was called the soul of Sesame Street, and then Gibbon, all of them said, oh my gosh, wait a minute, look at this. This is such an avenue to getting to treating curricular items that maybe couldn't be treated with great learning intensity with adults, but this is another avenue. And the puppets, and puppets, as they shared with me during our interviews, they can do things that a human being can't do.
Yes.
And so, for instance, you can't imagine the human being acting like the Count and counting grains of sand and being excited about that. It just doesn't come off. Or you can't imagine Cookie Monster, going there and killing, you know, going there to get a cookie no matter what it took. Whoops, you know, and wiping it off.
Yes.
We have to worry about role models with the actors or the live people on the show. So that's where the Muppets came in, and everybody, and what Dave Connell said in retrospect, he said, you know, we didn't develop this show to have a star, but it did. And the Muppets were the star.
More with Dr. Lucille Burbank, author of The Inside Story of Sesame Street, after these messages.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. That's 800-425-8166.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Now, more with Dr. Lucille Burbank, author of The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street.
Boy, time is going by way too quickly. You're going to have to read the book, The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street, by Dr. Lucille Burbank. One final question. It's interesting here how these characters developed, and you tell a great story in the book. Carol Spinney was Big Bird, the voice of Oscar the Grouch, and you're thinking, I wonder how we came up with that Oscar the Grouch voice. Talk about that, because it was a cab ride that gave us this legendary voice of Oscar the Grouch.
Yes, it was. I had such fun interviewing him and he explaining to me. So what happens, and this is not atypical being in media, you know, you sometimes, he said to me, Big Bird's voice was very easy for him to do. It was just an octave above his regular voice. He could do that, but he was having such a time getting Oscar the Grouch's voice, the voice we all remember today. So he's down to the wire, and he's going to his first rehearsal down in New York City at the studio, and Jim Henson is expecting this voice, and he still doesn't have it. And so he gets in the cab, And this cab driver says in Oscar's voice, and I can't really emulate it, but something like, "Where to, Mac?" You know how Oscar does it. You often fill in for me. And then this cab driver, he has a cigar. He's chewing it on the side of his mouth. He's talking about Lindsay's ruining New York City. And he's going on and going on. And trust me, he's going, "Oh my gosh, this voice, what a voice." So, and I mean, you know, you can imagine the euphoria, because I've been there too. When all of a sudden you get the help you've needed, it's like manna from God, you know, manna from heaven. So Spinney's going, "Where's your Mac?" And he's rehearsing it. And I'm sure he didn't hear anything of what this cab driver was talking about. He gets to the studio and he's going, "Where's your Mac? Where's your Mac?" And Jim Henson says to him, "Well, how do you want to do this?" He says, "Well, we'll put Oscar the Grouch in a trash can. You knock on the trash can, and then I'll pop up and do Oscar." So Jim Henson does that, knock, knock, knock. And then he gets up and goes, "Hey, get away from my trash can," or however, you know, Spinny can do it, because I can't copy that voice. And then he goes on to say that he would be with Jim Henson, and he would watch Jim Henson pick up a voice. There was a waiter in New Orleans, and all of a sudden they were going there, they're eating and something, and then Jim Henson started picking up that waiter's voice, and Jim Henson would catch a phrase and then go there and practice it.
It's one of the many fascinating stories in the book, The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street. And as you point out, at the time, Carol is on his way to the audition and just happens to get this cab driver with this, "Where to, Mac?" And suddenly this voice, this legendary voice, is created. A minute or so left in the program, you talk about Danny Epstein, who was music coordinator on the series. And he said, "I don't think there's anything in this program that's childish." And I kept going back to that quote. Does that sort of sum up about as well as anything why this program has lived on for nearly 50 years now? Because it's for children, but it's not a childish program.
You're absolutely right, Rick. There's no condensation in this program. Just none. And as Danny Epstein would say to me, we're talking to little people. So there's no condensation. You have to just make sure the vocabulary is appropriate, the pictures are appropriate. But basically, they're just like you and me, and that's true. When I do my reading every Friday, it's volunteer work that I've been doing for 11 years now. One of the reasons I'm so successful and the reason Sesame Street was so successful is because I am interested in you as a human being. I don't care your age. You are a person like me, and isn't that delightful? And so I talk to them on the same level as me, of course, explaining vocabulary, making sure I use appropriate vocabulary. But it just doesn't really matter about the age. Children can learn anything if it's put in the appropriate form for them. And Captain Kangaroo also went there and proved that.
So many great stories. It's a program we grew up with, either grew up with watching as children or grew up watching with our children. Excellent book. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. And isn't it wonderful the impact it's had on everyone's lives?
And continues to do so. The book is The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street. Dr. Lucille Burbank, the author and our guest. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.